Hello and welcome to the second of our special podcasts here at Pleasure Beach Resort. Last time we were talking to Amanda Thompson, our big boss here at Pleasure Beach, all about what was happening on the park and her vision for the future. And you gave us some fantastic comments as well in the comments bar immediately below the video. Thank you very much for taking the time to do that. One of the things that you did mention to us was that you wanted to find out a bit more about behind the scenes here at Pleasure Beach. And could we talk to some of the people who make the whole place work? Well, of course we can. And it gives me very great pleasure to welcome the first of our guests, and that's Adam Slevin, who is our creative guy. Hello.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning and good afternoon, whatever.
Whatever it is. Not sure what time it is.
Director of Creative Design and Experience.
All in one breath as well.
All in one breath.
Fantastic.
I was impressed with that as well. What's the job? What do you do?
So I look after the creative vision of the parks. So if we're working on new attractions, refurbishments or reimaginings of existing attractions, events, shows. I work across all of those things, painting on the park, models, props. They all come under my jurisdiction.
So you're coming up with ideas all the time?
Yes, we need to, daily basis. We have to. Don't all make it, but every day, ideas, ideas, ideas. And of course, as well as the ideas, we've got to make.
So,
and that bit takes longer.
That must be quite a pressure then. So you've got to turn up in the morning with a set number of ideas, have you?
No, not necessarily. The good thing is about working here, you know, 2 days are the same. So I could be coming in the morning, I could be looking at something as simple as what we're going to do with the frontage of our puzzle maze, or we could be talking about a new attraction, we could be talking about pantomime. So we have to flip between quite a few different things.
I should imagine those ideas come to you spontaneously, possibly in the middle of the night as well, do they?
Truthfully, sometimes it's just when you're walking around the park. You can't plan it. It's not one of the things you can't schedule in your creativity. It kind of, when it's there, you have to run with it. And if it's at night, you have to get your phone out and start writing it all down.
Yes, yeah. It's about keeping a pad next to you and writing stuff down as it comes up. Otherwise, it'll just disappear.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, I suppose 90% of what I put down disappears or we don't use. But that's normal. You have to, I don't know, it's like, to me, creativity is like a muscle. The more you use it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
I'm a compulsive doodler, so any envelopes that end up in my house, I end up scrawling all over them.
You take inspiration from that and your ideas from that and you write them down. Do you come back to them later on and think, what on earth is that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that does happen. Sometimes I think, what was that? And then I think, oh, actually, that's quite nice. I'm not sure what it was for.
Yeah.
And then we'll continue to develop it and move it on to one of my designers, or I'll develop it a bit further and eventually it becomes something that looks like something we might have on the park.
Excellent. So it's all full of ideas right across the park, all different platforms.
Yes.
So how did you get started? Tell me all about yourself.
So I actually started in many years ago now, more than I care to remember, in operations at a theme park in the south of England. I did that for a number of years. Then I moved into entertainment. So I cut my cloth in entertainment for a few years. Then I started working in audiovisual stuff, and I had some really good people to support me and encourage me with that. Then my first creative outlet, I actually think, was writing some voiceover scripts for themed toilets.
Themed weird toilet.
Themed toilets, where when you sort of sat, you know, went into the toilet, there was some interactive audio that came back with it. And I did that as the person that was meant to do it was unavailable.
Well, you know, that's not as far-fetched as it seems, because I've been on some theme parks where there's music in the toilets.
Yes.
There's music in the lifts.
Yes, everywhere.
Everywhere you go.
Yes.
And it's all themed.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's,
and that was one of those scenarios. Yeah. So I was asked if I would write it in place of the person that was meant to write it, and I quite enjoyed it, and I was told actually they were very good, and then I got asked to do more and more of that. So I wrote a lot of, recorded a lot of voiceovers, not myself, directed them. Worked with a lot of voiceover artists, and then at some point I started to get asked to do stuff visually. So a lot of theme park work and sort of indoor theme crazy golf experiences, all that kind of stuff. And what was great was I was able to take my operational experience, my technical experience through AV, and apply the creative to it. So I hope when I'm doing stuff, I'm also aware if it's technically possible or how challenging it might be or how we actually go about getting that to work in reality.
Marvellous. So you've got plenty on the plate at the moment then as we get into the new season.
Absolutely.
Ideas coming up. We'll talk about that in a short amount of time. So in the meantime, tell me about Valhalla. You've got a bit of a story here, haven't you? Because you came to the park.
Yes.
You went on Valhalla.
Where's this going?
And you ended up a national face.
Yeah, oh, you've been doing your research. So, year 2000, the year Valhalla opened, my memory is I was in Blackpool at the time, and I think we'd heard that Valhalla was going to open the next day for, I can't remember if it was previews or official opening, I think it was previews. So, at the time I was at sixth form, and I thought, well, if I missed a day of sixth form and got to go on Valhalla, that would be really good. Not that I would encourage anyone to do that at all, but I did. Got to go on Valhalla. Was sort of mesmerised by it all because it was all completely new to me. And at the time, there was a newspaper sponsoring the ride. And when I got back to London, I think I was back in sixth form the next day, and I bought the paper on the way in or on the way out of school. And it said there was a feature in the middle, and I opened it, and there was a double page spread, and in the centre was a picture of one boat from inside the ride, and I was sat in the middle, and I thought, oh, busted.
That's it, 11 steamy at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
So what happened after that?
Nothing was said, thankfully. It made it onto some, we used to have postcards on Park that were sold, which had the picture on as well, so it was almost
so
like...
So you lived on forever?
Yeah, there was years of memories of thinking of that time that I didn't go into sixth form that I should have done. But then, weirdly, then I'm working on it a number of years later, which is just, it seems surreal.
Yeah.
Surreal to me.
You may get wet, you will get soaked.
Absolutely, yes, definitely get soaked.
The signs
and that's
well.
Definitely still true for Valhalla.
Absolutely. Let's talk about reimagining.
Yes.
We're hearing a lot about reimagining.
Yes.
Everything's being reimagined now. Is this just the latest corporate buzzword or is there something to it?
No, there's definitely something to it because I think as a park, heritage is important to us, but there obviously has to be a balance of that because people do want new experiences and new things. And the audiences we have now, somewhat more sophisticated, they see a lot more. I mean, you know, everyone, you've got a sort of computer in your pocket with a mobile phone. Everything is so much more accessible than it used to be. And I think sometimes we have to accept that the current audience we have might have a different take on what they expect to see in an attraction. So a reimagining is an opportunity for us to look at the concept of an existing attraction with fresh eyes and sort of say, well, actually, could we enhance this? Could we make this more relevant? Is there some technology we could use to bring this up to current day while still absolutely respecting our heritage and the things that people love?
So the perfect example of that is the one that we've just seen relaunched, Launchpad,
which was launched,
that's the right term. Relaunched and launched.
Yes,
again.
Absolutely.
I mean, that started off as PlayStation back in 97 with Boyzone.
That's right.
And the late Mrs. Thompson as well.
Yes.
Who was
absolutely, I remember the
catapulted
video.
Into South Shore with a boy band. I mean, it doesn't happen every day, does it?
No.
And then that became Ice Blast. So how have you reimagined it this time into Launchpad?
So we, when we review our attractions, we always considered, you know, is it still part of the mix? Is it important to us? And we decided with Launchpad, or Ice Blast as it was, that absolutely it was. And it's one of our, what I would call our skyline attractions, whereby it is part of Blackpool's skyline, as is the big one. So it was quite important to us, it stayed. Then we started rethinking about, or thinking rather about, what we'd like to see. And I think we sort of went down the route of, well, you know, I kept thinking about the word launch, and I seem to remember I wrote about 20 ride names down and had a meeting with Mand. And Mand very instinctively went, you know, her eyes zoomed in straight to one. And that's where the name came from. And then we started picking colours for the ride, went through various schemes. But that eventually got to the point where we knew we got the colours right because we sprayed up samples on pieces of metal. And before the ride would before we opened the park in the morning, I would go down to the site and offer them up against the tower to see what they looked like in the sunlight and to make sure we made the right choices.
That's the sort of attention to detail that people will find absolutely astounding. That is brilliant. Now, that is real dedication to the brand, isn't it?
Yes.
Where you're taking them out actually into the daylight and you're matching it against the background and you're seeing it fits in.
Absolutely. I think it's really important because it, you know, I suppose you could be quite lazy and just look on a computer screen, but that's not a real representation of a real world physical colour. So that was really important to us that we sort of knew we were picking absolutely the right colours. And then from that, we started thinking about the launch experience on Launchpad, where, you know, how do we dramatise that? How do we bring some theatre to it? So we have a new soundtrack that's been put together by Glenn Robertson, the Notable Stranger, new voiceovers, and we have a really nice theatrical sequence at the beginning where we use smoke,
to
build the anticipation.
Because that then goes with the westerly wind across the park towards Valhalla.
Yes, and so it actually helps make atmosphere everywhere.
The atmosphere was absolutely terrific, and we saw this coming across the park just before our interview, didn't we?
Yes.
We got caught up in the smoke.
Very effective pea soup sort of moment, yes.
Absolutely terrific. So that's the reimagined launch pad.
Yes.
A lot of other reimaginings going on around the park as well, aren't
there? So at the minute we are looking to reimagine River Caves, which is a ride that's been with us for a long time. Very popular family attraction. It's very indiscriminate because there's no height restriction really. Anyone go on it. It's, you know, from a very young age through to grandparents. It doesn't exclude anyone. So its target audience is vast. So at the minute we're letting our minds sort of wander freely as to what that might look like inside and out.
And how freely are you letting it wander? What sort of things? Can you give us an idea?
We're sort of going down the route of being in a dream, floating through a dream.
I like that.
Down a dream boat, down the river of dreams, and seeing where our imagination takes us. So it might not necessarily be a specific location. It might be a sort of some vision of fantasy that you end up in some scenes, but it will still be lavish, it will still be detailed, and it will still be for everyone.
So where do you get the ideas from for that then? Are those obscure dreams that you have in the night and you're writing down?
It can be, actually. Sometimes it's just a case of, as I doodle, something will come to me, or I see something, you know, you could see a blossom tree, and then suddenly your mind starts connecting that up to other things, and suddenly you've envisaged a whole world. But I go through a number of sketches, research, seeing other attractions, architectures, another inspiration, going to see shows, going into theatres, and sometimes it's just a little seed of an idea just triggers off a whole sequence in your mind, and you just work with it. And so it's weird, is when people ask, it's not something you consciously know to do or control. It kind of just comes to you, and you just have to make sure you channel it out at that time. Before you forget.
Let's talk about theming then, because I'm going to touch on Alton Towers, because you were there.
So I did a lot of work at the time for the Two Souls group, of which Alton Towers was one of them. Worked on a lot of projects, a lot of new projects, a lot of coasters, predominantly focused on sound on those, and some, you know, dispatch sequences and lighting and the tying together of those elements.
I was absolutely enthralled. I say, go into a lift in the Splash Landings Hotel.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yes.
So the lights change, the lights go off, the lights come back on again. You've got the music. It's vibrant.
Yes.
I mean, that is real dream stuff, isn't it?
Yes, and it's some of those things are, you know, when we did those things, there's sorts of details that people wouldn't expect and maybe wouldn't even consider, well, how's anyone thought that that's a detail that we need? But that's where you sort of go beyond what people might expect and add in some flourishes and flares just to give it that extra bit of zip.
Well, let's find out where these flares and zips come from then. I mean, you're working with a team.
Yes.
Specialist team. Tell me about them. Where do their ideas come from? Or are they as barking mad as you in the middle of the night?
Some of them are. Actually, I think all of them are. So we've got a team. So we have a department. I've got a department called Pleasure Beach Studios, which is formed of a design department, a production department, and a technical department, and paint as well. And we've got some superbly talented members of the team. It's a small team, and they all work really hard. But we also, for example, have within the design team, we have our own sign writer who does all our hand-painted signs by hand, obviously.
And they look amazing.
They're incredible.
And they're hallmark in Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Absolutely.
Quality.
And when we, you know, I have to sometimes take people in to have a look, you know, if we're doing some, we've got a newspaper or photographer in. And when I go in, I'm always kind of taken back by Andy's skill to, you know, without having any implements, be able to freehand that level of detail. It sort of makes my eyes water. Well, it just, the skill of being able to cut in a line without using
it's amazing,
anything,
isn't it?
But it is a skill because not everyone can do it. I certainly can't.
You need a steady hand.
Absolutely.
A real steady
hand. Yes, absolutely. Sort of bionic almost. Yeah.
What do you think about the future of theme parks at the moment from a creative point of view? What needs to be done? How is the industry evolving?
I think it is an exciting time. There's a lot of work with obviously Universal coming to the UK in 5 years' time. That's really exciting news and really good news for us. We welcome it with open arms, as it will be fantastic for the UK. It will bring more people to the UK from Europe and globally. And we hope, and they will travel the UK visiting other attractions and cities of which we're part of the mix. Mm. So that's going to open up a lot of new experiences in the UK. But also for parks, I think there's going to be a focus on delivering attractions for families, looking, you know, things like family roller coasters that are accessible for more people. No doubt tech is going to play a huge part in theme park experiences, not just from the attraction itself, but how you experience your day out at the attraction, how you manage your queues, how you order your food. That's already developed massively, but that's only going to go further. And I think that's really exciting. Obviously, AI is a new thing in a way. I know it's been around for a while, and it's just, I think that's exciting. It's a tool, but humans are going to have to learn how to use that effectively, I think.
How's that going to help you in the creative industry? Can it come up with ideas for you? Can it look at a vision and create something for you, and then you can pull that apart and say, well, actually, no, that's not what I've got in mind, but it's a good idea?
I would have thought it could. I haven't personally used it. I mean, I'm just thinking it might be great if you've, you know, you need 1 minute to just quickly get something up with a few keywords just to start the process off. I mean, we have people who are so good at drawing by hand, and it will be better than anything AI can produce, as they are super talented. So I think it's interesting with AI. So I think it's fascinating, and I think it's going to bring a lot of benefits. We just have to make sure we don't let it overtake the process.
Well, it could never actually take over from those bizarre moments, like you're saying, you're getting in the night, where you write stuff down.
No.
But, you know, you could give AI, you know, give me a vision for how Launchpad's going to look. And it's a give you an image.
Yes, it'd be interesting to see what it throws out.
Miles away from what you've
got. Probably. Yes.
But yes, it's a starting point.
Correct. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I can do that. Maybe I am AI. I hope not.
Where do you get your inspiration from then for changing things on the park? You know, we've talked about River Caves needs a bit of a makeover.
Yep.
It's 90 years old. And, you know, to come at it from a 21st century perspective, you're looking around at what people want, what people are doing, and how you can reflect their lives.
Yes, you're looking at your audience. You're walking around the park with your eyes wide open to everything, and just seeing. Sometimes I walk the park and just do it as from the point of view of a guest, and that's always a really good way to look at things. You see what other parks are doing, you speak to your peers in the industry and see what they're working on. We always have very interesting conversations with sort of my equivalent in other parks. I just think everything at some point needs revisiting. Of course it does. So everything just takes it in turn to get there. And, you know, we have a list and we're going to keep working through it. But that good. The work will never be complete. That's
I was just
going to
say
gonna
that
be.
List is never ending, isn't it?
No, and it shouldn't end. Is the second you think your list has ended, you become complacent.
Well, this isn't a museum.
No, absolutely not. And it can't be purely a monolith of the past. Mm. It's got to reflect now as well,
yes,
with whilst also respecting our heritage.
We touched on this when we spoke to Amanda a few weeks ago about this, you know, because it's held in such high regard as Pleasure Beach.
Yes.
And it's part of people's childhoods. It's part of people's memories. And nobody likes to see things change from their childhood, do they? But you've got to move on.
Yes, of course, you absolutely have to. There are some things which are sort of sacred, and, you know, we've got some fantastic art and artistry from, you know, from the 20s, even from the park, which is really important. But in terms of attractions, there does come a time, and it's never nice to remove something is someone somewhere is always going to have a memory associated with it. But in order to create new memories, that has to happen sometimes. And it's really important we create new memories, which might be even better than the existing ones.
Which is a moot point, isn't it? Of course it is. You don't know how good things are going to be in the future until you do them now.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you love most about your job, Adam?
That no 2 days are the same, that I can, and they really aren't, and that I can be working on some design work through to meetings, I can be in rehearsals for a show, I could be doing podcast interviews. Yes. It's just the variation of it is exciting, and that there's always a journey that you can aspire to. There's always a way to go, and that never stops being the case.
Let's talk about the shows, because you do pantomimes as well, don't you?
This year we're doing Cinderella at the Globe. So I've been writing and directing the pantomime with Alexa for, is this 4 or 5 years? Oh, one of the two. Can't quite remember which. That's, I love that part of the year, is our season sort of winding down. Then we start rehearsals, and then it gets kind of festive when we're in rehearsals.
It's a lovely feeling, isn't it?
Yes, it's lovely. And, you know, we don't have very long to rehearse the show. We do from many people not knowing the script at all through to opening is 12 days. So it is quite a quick process, but it's really enjoyable and very rewarding. We have huge school groups that come and watch the show during the daytime. That's so rewarding when you hear the cheers from the kids and the boos for the baddies. So I love that.
That's terrific.
Love doing that. Absolutely.
What's your favourite character?
We did Aladdin last year, and I really like the character Aladdin because he's cheeky chappy. He's good natured. He's got heart, but he's also a bit of a rogue. And characters that have a little bit of good and bad.
Let's come back onto the part just briefly before we go. It's absolutely brilliant to get a chance to chat with you. It really is. What's your favourite ride at the Pleasure Beach? Why do you like it?
It probably changes on a weekly basis, but this week...
You keep redesigning them, don't you?
And there's that. This week, is actually, I rode it yesterday. I love Wallace and Gromit's Thrill-O-Matic because it's very British. It's got a very British sense of humour. It's silly, it's fun, it's carefree, and I always come off it feeling happier. And we have some updates coming to that ride later this year,
on the back
based
of the,
on Vengeance Most Foul. So I'm really excited about those. So we're working with Aardman at the minute on approvals for what we're putting in there exactly. So we sort of know what we're doing, and hopefully we'll move into production on that very shortly.
It's good to see the Norbert's models already in the shop.
Oh, yes. What a fantastic
character. I went in earlier and I thought, where's Norbert? There he is.
Oh, he's there. He's selling quite well. He's very popular, Norbert.
Neat and tidy.
Yes, absolutely.
Adam, it's absolutely a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you
so much.
Likewise.
For sparing the time.
No problem.
And you're first of all on many creatives, I think, here at Pleasure Beach Resort that we're going to get a chance to chat to over the coming weeks and months.
Absolutely. And hot ice rehearsals
hot
ahead.
Hot ice rehearsals. Can't wait for that. Get your feathers out. Adam, thank you for that.
Thank you.
So that's Adam Slevin then, our creative guy here at Pleasure Beach Resort. Don't forget, as always, if you want to comment on anything that you like in this video, then please do so below in the comments. Thank you so much for watching these again, and we'll be back with yet another guest at your request very soon. From both of us, bye-bye.